Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I'm super excited to know that we are together again in studio to break bread together, to just thumb through the pages of the Bible, to allow the Word of God to just saturate our heart, fall fresh upon us, that we would rejoice in the Lord and just crave the very root and goodness of His Word. And so it just excites me to know that we can sit together and just bask in His presence when we are together breaking bread, as they say, or just sifting through scriptures and allowing it to breathe upon us. And I pray that you are excited with me. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, this is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I'm continuing in our teaching series, When You're in the Waiting Room. And this is part 8 of this teaching series, and we are in our last point of this teaching series. So before I get into the details of picking up where we left off, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer and just lift up a prayer of praise and adoration to God and just letting Him know who He is. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, if we could just touch and agree today that we would lift up the name of Jesus in prayer. So let's pray. Blessed Savior, Almighty God, we come to you today saying thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done with us, for us, and through us, Lord God. We are your children. Lord, we thank you for all that you are going to do while we're in the waiting. Lord, we know that we experience the waiting room with you in our heart and in our mind, Lord God, that you keep us still and you keep us in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed on you. And we thank you, Lord God, for how you restore us, how you build us, and how you purge us, and how you keep us close to your bosom. Lord, here we are, ready, willing, and able to receive a nugget, the richness of your word, precept upon precept, Lord God, and that we can grow and go in grace, that we make ourselves available to you. Lord, here we are. We say yes to you, and we thank you for your amazing love and for what Jesus did on the cross. Now, Lord, walk us through your word today and keep us and show us what you want us to see today as we continue to move through this teaching series, When We're in the Waiting. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, Amen. So thank you, my brothers and sisters, for lifting up a prayer of praise today to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we meet back today concerning when you're in the waiting room, and we focused our attention on last week on the last point of this teaching series, and it is a three-point teaching series, and our first point being attitude. What's our attitude while we're in the waiting room? What is our discipline while we're in the waiting room? And it brings me to the last point being, what is our speech? Are we speaking life while we're in the waiting room? Now, as I've said before, over the duration of this teaching series, that our waiting room experience is not always a pleasant one. It can be somewhat challenging for us. It can show us ourselves. It does multiple things to us. And this is a way for God to shape us and mold us and keep us will when we are growing in grace and when we are drawing in to Him. And so the waiting room experience can have some challenges, but not always, but it can have challenges. Now, I encourage you to listen to all of the tracks of this teaching series so that you can be familiar with where we are in this particular point in the teaching series, Speaking Life. And on last week, when we focused our attention on the tongue, the words that come out of our mouth, they can be words of praise or words of cursing. And we read these scriptures on last week concerning James chapter 3, and we walked through verses 1 through 18. And then we went to James 1, chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. We camped out a little bit around Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. And then we rested on Proverbs 16, verse 24. Now, this is where we're going to pick back up today. We're going to look in Proverbs again, and we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 10. So if you would get your Bibles or your device and go to the book of Proverbs and walk with me to chapter 10. And we're going to focus in on 10 verses 19 through 21. Now, again, this particular point is all about speaking life. And it's so important for us to come to this understanding as brothers and sisters in Christ and the importance of speaking life to the body of Christ. And I'm saying our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we build up the body, not tear it down. We talked about that on last week. So we're going to continue to dig into the scriptures on the importance of this and how we are to use the tongue, something that is so small, but it can start a large fire if we are not careful to be more of a listener to God through His Word and a doer of God in His Word, that we would know how and come to the maturity of speaking life through the Word of God. So let's look and pick up in Proverbs 10. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. And we're going to move down to verse 19. So Proverbs 10, 19 reads this way. And we'll read 19 through 21. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth. The words of the godly are like sterling silver. The heart of a fool is worthless. The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. Now let's read this, these same verses in the New International Version, NIV. So let me reread this in the NIV translation, Proverbs 10, and it reads this way. Verse 19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. 21 sets it in place. The lips of the righteous nourish many. Don't take that lightly. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. The New King James says, or the King James says, but fools die for lack of wisdom. And the takeaway in these particular verses is, of course, the tongue. In verse 19, it says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. We remember reading in James chapter 3 that we are to be quick to listen. I'm sorry, James chapter 1, we talked about being quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to get angry. And that's James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27 is what we read through on last week. And, of course, in James, taming the tongue. And that comes out of James chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. But here in Proverbs, it also says that when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. When we keep our mouth shut, in the New Living Translation, but in the NIV, in verse 20, it says the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. Little value. But the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. So again, it goes back to telling, it tells us that the words that come out of our mouth, like speaking words that come out of our mouth, is to be choice silver, like choice silver. And in verse 21 of Proverbs 10, the lips of the righteous. That's you and me. When we are in right standing with God, the words of our lips should nourish many. Not just yourself, not just those who are directly in front of you, it will nourish many. So that tells me it's a way of life. When we come to a maturity in our walk with Christ through Christ's word, and it's hidden in our heart, the Holy Spirit will allow our speech to be like streams of living water, healthy for the soul. We talked about that on last broadcast when we last visited. Healthy for the soul, pleasing, attractive, the words that come out of our mouth. So the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment or lack of wisdom. So this is just another proverb that lets us know about the tongue, the words, and speaking life. So let's look at Philippians 1, and we'll read through Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 21. So let's walk over to the New Testament. And I love to move through the scriptures. It just opens the eyes and the heart. And it should be, and it shows us the reflection of God in scripture when we move back and forth through the scriptures. So move down to verse 21 in Philippians chapter 1. And it reads this way: for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Let me reread that one more time. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. So what is Paul saying? He's saying, for me to live is living for Christ, but to die is gain. So what we need to understand here is that while we are living on this side of heaven, we should be speaking life for Christ, as Paul did to the Philippian church and so many others. He was speaking life to the churches by encouraging them. And so let's back up in Philippians chapter 1, and let's back up to verse 20. And it reads, for I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. Now, this is a word to the wise. This is a word to you and me, that Paul is encouraging them, letting them know that he says, I trust that my life will bring honor, not to himself, but honor to Christ, whether I live or die. And this should be our encouragement, that our life that we live, our speech, our actions, our thoughts, our attitude, our discipline, our display, our speaking life, as Paul is doing, encouraging the saint whether he lives or dies. Verse 21, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. Amen. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me, but for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Amen. To what he's saying to us, to what the scriptures are saying to us as believers in Christ Jesus. Don't miss these points here. He's saying, for me to live, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But he also went on to say, he being Paul, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. Fruitful work. Remember that the fruit that is deposited in us when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and when he came and immediately sat on the throne of our heart, the fruit that are within us, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, those fruit shaped and molded and grown to where they come through us, the fruitfulness of our work while we are yet on this side of heaven. He said, but if I live, I can do more. This should be our heart's desire while we are still yet here, is to be do more fruitful work for Christ. So he says, so I really don't know which is better. Verse 23, he's saying he's torn between two desires. He longs to go and be with Christ, which is far better. But in verse 24, he says, but for your sakes, that's mine and yours, my brothers and my sisters, for our sakes, it is better that I continue to live, is what he's telling the Philippian church. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. And then he goes on to say in verse 25, knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. Amen. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus. Not pride in Paul, but pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through Paul. Amen. This is what we want to experience. Just as Paul said in verse 25, knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. Amen. This is what we as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is where we should be growing to in our walk, in our faith, so that we can grow and go in grace to experience the joy of the Lord through faith. And when we speak to the body of Christ, the weaker ones, when we build up the church or build up the believers in Christ Jesus who are weak, who are on the milk of the word, then they can grow and go themselves. This is called discipleship, the power of multiplication. This is what God wants you and I to do. This is the purpose of this ministry, Mission from the Heart. We expose the word, we expound on the word, and we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin. The very purpose for us to extend the gospel, Jesus himself, is that they will come in to the salvation. This is the power of the tongue. When we speak life to the weaker ones in the body of Christ, and we extend the gospel to the lost, that they will come in to the ark of salvation, that they will come to a loving understanding, a yearning for Jesus Christ in their life. It was once us, my brothers and my sisters. We knew not love, but love first loved us. And so, when we can come to a deeper understanding the purpose and plan that God has for us while we sojourn through this barren land. According to Paul, he said it is better that I continue to live so that we can do more fruitful work for Christ. And when we speak about the Word of God, when we tell our testimony to someone on how God has brought you through the waiting room experience, then we are giving glory to God. When we speak about what he's done for us through this waiting, there are blessings on the other side of the waiting room. But while we're in the waiting, we say, yes, I will. I will speak life. In the weak, I will speak life to the needy. I will speak life to those who have no hope. Paul wants us to do as the body of Christ. This is what he had demonstrated, and he cried out to the brothers, the sisters, the saints. This is what we are to do as children of light while we yet live. So let's look. Go to Romans 8. And this is a familiar passage. We're going to read Romans 8, verse 28. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, this is the beautiful work of the body of Christ, that we continue to do the work of God. So let's read through verse 28 in Romans chapter 8 and starting at 28. and follow along with me in your translation. And again, I'm in the New Living Translation. And it reads this way. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And so we are going to continue to read through 29. For God knew his people in advance. And he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Verse 30, and having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. 10 to read down through verse 37. In verse 31, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can even be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us? Whom God has chosen for his own. No one for God himself has given us right standing with himself. So let's stop here at verse 33 in Romans 8:28. But the main focus in this particular passage is the 28th verse. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So while we are in the waiting room and we are waiting for our blessing, we know that God is working all of these things out for our good. So in the midst of this, we continue to speak life concerning your testimony or the word of God that others may come to know Jesus Christ as we continue to speak life through the word of God. Again, we know that he's causing things to work together for whose good? Our good. Why? Because we love him and are called according to his purpose. According to his purpose. Let's move to, we're going to look at Psalms 141, verse 3. And before we move there, we're going to stop and camp there for today, because I want us on next broadcast, when we come together, we're going to focus our attention on praises and how important it is for us to praise the Lord. And again, this is a form of speaking life through song and praise to him. So let's look at Psalms 141, and we will make Psalms 141 our final passage of reading and coming together in speaking life. So walk with me to Psalms 141, and we're going to read verse 3. And it reads this way. Verse 3. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. And this goes back to what we talked about in James chapter 3 and what we read today in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 19 through 21. So it covers that controlling what we say, guarding our lips. And this is what we want to continue to pray to the Lord concerning the words that come out of our mouth. Speaking life to where we can encourage others, to where we can speak the word of God that will saturate our hearts, that we know according to Romans 8:28 that he is working all these things out for our good. So it brings me to the point in today's broadcast to know that somebody may need to cry out to him, give their life to Christ. Someone may need to just fall on their knees and surrender their life to him. So if you could, my brothers and sisters, if we could pray together right now for somebody who may need to give their life to Christ. So you repeat after me, it's your heart, my words. And we will pray a prayer of salvation that you would come to know him. So if you would, my brothers and sisters, partner with me as we always do and lift up that person that may be in your circle of influence or that's been heavy on your heart and you've been praying for them. Let's lift them up as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you and we need you. And I am here right now, Lord, asking that you would cover me as I surrender to you, that you would fill me as I surrender to you. Lord, here I am needing a Savior and needing your love in my heart. Lord, I know I haven't said some things or done some things wrong or even had some thoughts that I shouldn't have. But Lord, you clean me up from the inside out. I believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross for me. He died and paid the penalty for my sin. Lord, I surrender to you because you are faithful. You are who I need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I am so happy that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior today. This is the best day of your life because you gave Jesus your heart. And this today is the day that you will celebrate for the rest of your life, is when you have given your life to Christ. It is a day of celebration, and the angels are rejoicing because you chose today to say yes to him. And so I encourage you, Mission from the Heart encourages you to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water and you would stand up and let the world know that you are a child of God, that you will be on fire for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we pray that you would seek out a small group Bible study within that church, a Sunday school class, and continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio, that we would all grow and go together. that we would all continue to drink and eat the meat of the word of God, that we can also speak life to others as they come to know Jesus Christ. So, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Keep in mind that being a believer, born again believer in Christ Jesus, it won't be as easy as you may want it to be, but it's worth it. But just know that God is our life. So praise the Lord. So we are going to stop here in the broadcast today, and always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God remains forever and ever. God bless you, and have a wonderful, blessed week.